The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser, intern Brandon here with you on this Friday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Joe, I think we have a little bit of fear from Stillman. He's lost four in a row against you, and we haven't heard from him yet. I think he's dodging us this morning, Joe Rexroad. What do we think? Joe's first mute of the day.
I'm so flustered I muted myself. So you're telling me that Jared is pulling an Indy Ben, huh? He can't handle the heat anymore.
That's what I'm telling you.
He's gone soft, and he's just going to dodge. He's going to dodge the program because he can't handle being in the arena. Unbelievable, Jared. My God. I mean,
I expected more.
Fine. I'll throw next week's, you know. I mean, I'll have fake outrage over, you know, a Titans player doing a commercial.
Right. A little mayonnaise in the coffee.
Yeah. Unbelievable, Jared. So disappointed in you.
Maybe we'll check back in with Jared a little bit later in the show. We'll see what happens there. Lots of called shots that have rolled in. We appreciate the participation. How much progress, Joe, do you think the offensive line has made throughout camp? And if you're Vrabel looking at the game tonight, how do you balance the work that you probably feel like the offensive line still needs to get, also the injury risk that we talk about a lot in these preseason games? As we sit here today on August 25th, you know, we've been about a month deep into this now since training camp began. How much progress have you detected from the starting group of the offensive line from that point until now?
Well, it's like even progress is hard. It's hard to answer that because it's like, is it progress or is it just working out well for them to not have to go against Simmons and Autry and Key, you know?
Right.
And I mean, because that's the thing. I mean, before the preseason game started, it was kind of like this daily, man, what does this mean? Where do the scales tip on? This is just a ridiculous defensive front as compared with, boy, these guys are going to struggle this year. I mean, I do think they've made progress. I mean, I think, you know, that's what camp is for. I feel like Dillard he just looks like a more confident player as compared to like early in camp. Again, early in camp, right from the start, Arden Key was wearing him out. And one thing I noticed, you know, it was a couple weeks in more. I mean, there were more reps I thought where like Dillard held his own, even against Key. I still think that particular matchup gives him a problem. And maybe that kind of player gives him a problem. You know, I mean, Key is a really interesting kind of slithery, kind of skinny, but he's got a lot of moves and, you know, very quick. I think that Dillard's had some really good reps against Landry, for example. And, of course, Landry's worked on, you know, mixing up his stuff, and I think he's stronger, the upper body and all that stuff. I know I'm focusing on Dillard, but I just think that's such a key to all of this, you know, is just that can you count on him week in, week out to just be solid over there? You don't have to help him all the time because, you know, right tackle is interesting. I mean, I think Hubbard's going to be the right tackle for New Orleans, but I don't know. I mean, does Murray have a chance to give him a little bit of a run? Overall, one thing I saw early, and I think it's been consistent, the interior of the line like running the football. I think they've got something there. I mean, Brewer, was it, did Baldinger break down some Brewer?
Yes.
Or was that somebody else? Yeah. I mean, like, the guy is athletic. Yeah, he's a little undersized. I'm sure if Jared wasn't a coward and was on with us right now, he'd tell us how, oh, he's undersized. He can't play in this league. I don't know, man. I think Aaron Brewer might be able to play some center in this league. And I think, so, you know, there's some people that have kind of gotten really down on him. And look, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Ben Jones or anything like that, but he is athletic. He's very athletic. And I think that Brewer, Skoronski, you saw the touchdown for Spears with Brewer and Brunskill. I think they have something, you know, running the football. I think they're going to be solid in there. It's so much about, to me, it's about the tackles.
Yeah, I mean, same here. You know, Jeffrey Simmons talked the other day about, you know, the interior of the line and how much they've improved and his conversations with Peter Skoronski and all those things. And that was good to hear. You know, obviously, you know, Skoronski, I think he's going to be really solid. And he is, in some respects, learning a new position, Joe, because he was a tackle in college and now he's playing at the guard position. But I think he's going to be really good. I look at Dillard specifically, and we're really going to find out what he is starting in week one because, you know, they play some really good quarterbacks early on. I mean, Herbert, Burrow, but they also play some good pass rushers early on in the season. And trying to determine if you're Vrabel and the coaching staff, how much help to give Dillard, when to leave him on an island by himself, on the other side with Hubbard, how much help do you need to give him in the protection part of this? Like, you can't give help to everybody. Otherwise, you're not going to have anybody out there running routes in the passing game. So, like, trying to figure out when to do that, who to do that against, the matchups, all those things. You know, if Andre Dillard can get his feet wet here and, you know, be somewhat consistently reliable over, like, nobody, I don't think, expecting him to be, you know, Taylor Lewan in his prime over there, right? Like, that's not what the Titans are asking for. But can you be a guy that wins your fair share of battles over there and you're just not getting turnstiled every play like they were last year with Dennis Daly over there at left tackle? Like, if you can win your fair share, if you're Andre Dillard, then I think that's fine. Like, nobody's asking for all pro level left tackle over there.
Right. You will, if you're okay, then by comparison, you're a huge upgrade from last year, you know, from Dennis Daly. I think, but to your point, also, there's a natural comparison to Taylor Lewan. Now, you don't want to get me started on some of the Titans fans who didn't recognize how good Taylor Lewan was, which I still believe has to do with just people not liking him personally. Taylor Lewan was an excellent left tackle. He gave some outstanding seasons here where, I mean, basically he just took care of that area. There's so much value, and that's why tackles get paid what they do. So if you're going to compare Dillard to Lewan at his best, he's going to suffer by comparison. If he can be in between those two, like squarely in the middle of those two, then I think you got a chance. And the thing about Dillard also, and it's limited snaps and all that stuff, but I think the Bears game in particular, I mean, he can be physical in the run game. You know, there was some really good Dillard Skoronski, a couple of plays with those two guys moving, you know, getting some serious movement. So he's athletic. He has good feet. I mean, I think there's a reason he's a first round pick. You can see all the skills. He's got this incredible opportunity now, finally, you know, after the disappointment of being in Philly and not being able to really get on the field much. But, you know, this is a massive opportunity for him. And it's been, it's been a camp where people have questioned him. And I think the Titans have heard that. I think he's heard that. And he's taken some lumps. But if he comes out of that better, then that's really great news for this team.
Well, it is. And look, I still think, you know, with a lot of Titans fans, there's that wait and see mode as to whether or not the Titans offensive line is going to be the thing that brings this season crashing down. And I don't know if it is or not. You know, obviously heading into camp, that was the biggest concern on the team. They had signed DeAndre Hopkins. Treylon Burks looked good. And hopefully, you know, the injury part of it takes care of itself and those guys get back on the field. But I still look at the offensive line, even though they had a good performance in the Chicago game against a lot of starters, by the way. A lot of starting players that the Bears had out there on defense and on that first drive. It is one drive that they had against Chicago. They were decent against Minnesota. It was the Minnesota backups that were out there for the most part. So I don't know exactly how much we've learned about the offensive line at this point. I do still think there's a fear from some Titans fans that, man, we feel great about the defense, and DeAndre Hopkins is exciting, and the offensive skill positions might be a little bit better than we thought they were going to be back in April and May when we were looking at the roster for this team. But, man, is that offensive line going to get the quarterback killed and bring the season scratching to a halt? That's still, I think, a big fear for a lot of Titans fans heading into the year.
Yeah, it's a valid fear. I mean, it's the thing that could undo the season without question. I don't have some brimming confidence here that they're going to be a good offensive line. I mean, I kind of agree with the idea, like, if they're solid, decent, you know, then that should be enough with everything else the Titans have. But no, it's, and the thing is, all it takes is just one really bad snap and one clean shot on your quarterback, and you know, that could change your season right there. So no, it's a concern, but I do think, again, the running aspect of it, I think, looks good, and it's kind of looked good even against the, when it's best on best. I think, and some of that is Tim Kelly too, and it's the diversity of the different things they're going to do. And there's so much that goes into it. It all works together. You got to have a good OC with a plan and play calling and keep the DC off balance. That helps your offensive line, you know? But there are times when it's just going to be simply third and nine, and this is a play that decides a game, and can you drop back and set up in a pocket when they're coming after you and actually be able to look downfield? There's so many pass plays last year were just stymied from the start because you just couldn't block at tackle.
We're getting Joe's thoughts on something we discussed yesterday with Tim Kelly, this offense, and how big of a factor he specifically is going to be with this group as they move forward into the regular season. We'll get to that coming up next. Got more of your thoughts on the Titans to get to as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Pro Golf coming to Nashville this September 14th through the 17th with the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. Text in the keyword caddy, that's C-A-D-D-I-E, caddy, now to 615-737-1025, and enter for your chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as week zero of college football kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Speaking of week zero, we will get into a little week zero college football talk coming up here in just a few minutes. Look ahead to Vanderbilt and Hawaii as well, so looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts on the Titans right now, and Joe, Junie and I discussed a little bit yesterday. But, you know, we talked about the offensive line and what that could look like for the Titans and how big of a, I guess, a swing that is one way or the other on what this season looks like. What about Tim Kelly? Like, just Tim Kelly himself, the play calling that goes into it. I don't think that we've seen a ton yet in terms of what it's going to look like in the regular season. It's not like Tim Kelly's out there, like, seriously game planning for the Chicago game or the Minnesota game, and he's not showing a ton in the preseason, which makes a lot of sense. But I'm really interested to see how different the offense looks by the time week one rolls around. I'm really interested to see the feel for the game he has from a play calling perspective, because we talked about that a lot last year with Todd Downing and what that looks like. I wonder how much of the Titans, how good they could be, what their record's going to be, all those things, how much of it comes down to Tim Kelly this year, and how good, how much he's the Titans have upgraded at the offensive coordinator position. Because, I mean, if it's a significant upgrade along with the personnel that they've had, because that's ultimately what it comes down to, you know, what does that mean for the Titans? You know, we were talking about the race between the Titans and the Jags yesterday. A lot of people feel like it's close around here. A lot of people nationwide, I mean, the Jags are the heavy favorite. We looked at the odds yesterday. They still would suggest that Jacksonville is the heavy favorite in the division. But I wonder how much of this year comes down specifically to Tim Kelly and the offensive coordinator that he is.
Yeah, look, it's a great question. And I honestly, I mean, I bounce around on this because, look, like, let's look at the Chiefs. if you had to give a percentage and you just had two things of their offensive, prolific offensive performance, Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid's offense. Okay. So, I mean, yeah. I'm giving more to Patrick Mahomes.
I am too.
But I also think you have to give a pretty good chunk to what they've done with him, how they maximize him and the creativity that Andy Reid has had for a long time in this league. So it's always that question. I mean, it is players. That's most important. But I think that you can certainly, like Josh Allen is going to be interesting. I mean, is Josh Allen just going to be like not peak Josh Allen anymore because Brian Daboll's not with him? I mean, one season, it's a small sample size still, but it did look like he suffered, and it looked like Daniel Jones suddenly became a competent QB who got a contract when a year ago, all of us would just assume Daniel Jones was headed towards Sam Darnold territory, right? I mean, just,
yep.
Yeah, he's just not good. I mean, so like, certainly it matters. It's always that question of how much does it matter? If the Broncos are good this year, now granted, Jerry Jeudy hurt now, and that's a killer for that team, but were the Broncos to make a big jump this year, how could you not look at Sean Payton again and be like, man, and you can look at Payton and Breeze, how much I still give more to Breeze, but I think it was all of it together that worked well. So if Tim Kelly is doing his job at a high level and is, whatever, top 10, 12 OC in the league in performance compared to Downing, who certainly was not that. And I'm not the Downing hater, some are, but he certainly was not good. He wasn't good enough. How much does that mean? How much does that matter to the bottom line? I mean, the thing is, even if they get way better on offense this year and it looks a lot better, you could still look at it and say, well, new left tackle and, DeAndre Hopkins is in and like all that stuff matters too. But yeah, it's kind of the great unknown. How much of an impact can he make? How much better that can they be because of this switch? And it is a new offense, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's a new offense. How much different is it going to look? How much more, I guess, willing or practical are they going to make it to throw the ball more? Like, are they actively going to try to pass the ball more? You still have Derrick Henry. You have Tyjae Spears. How much are they going to be on the field together? Like, there's so much about the offense this year that's intriguing to me, and I'm excited to see it. Like, we're not going to see, like, any, gigantic breakthroughs in the offense tonight in the preseason finale. Like, I think when Malik Willis and Will Levis are your quarterbacks, it's a lot of simplicity out there. Like, you're not getting into as many things as you can get into when Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback. But to me, that's a big part of what this year is going to be. What is Tim Kelly as an OC? Like, look, if you ask some Titans fans, Joe, that's a big reason why the Titans were terrible last year was Todd Downing. Beyond the injuries and Dennis Daly playing left tackle and all those things, a lot of blame got placed at the feet of Todd Downing last year. And obviously he paid for it with his job and is no longer here. I wonder with Tim Kelly coming in, the offense being different, all those things, Vrabel has made it pretty clear that he felt like they needed to make some changes offensively. But with Tim Kelly coming in, if the offense struggles this year, how much blame goes on him? Like, we've talked about this before. It's at times the most thankless job in sports is the offensive coordinator, just because, I mean, what you call, what you do is right out there on display for everybody to see and pick apart on a play-by-play basis.
Yeah. If your play doesn't work, you screwed up, I mean, even if it's just because like the left guard completely blew the assignment, you called the play didn't work, the OC's dumb. I mean, that's just how it is. So, speaking of Downing, well, let's bring up, the guy who is dodging us in a very cowardly fashion today. I mean, Jared has gone, and he's not alone, but he's gone to just, Downing was an idiot. And look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he was good. I think it was not a good hire by Mike Vrabel. And Arthur Smith was a great job of identifying someone. I just don't, Todd Downing, I think certainly was not good enough. We can all agree on that. But like, Jared wants it so badly to be all about him, right? And I think, and some fans do. Like, it would be great for the Titans if it was. if it was truly like just basically all about Downing being terrible, then that speaks well of their chances this year. I don't think it's that simple. But what you hope is obviously Vrabel. And remember, Vrabel looked at Tim Kelly. The Titans reached out on Tim Kelly when they hired Downing. So someone that Vrabel knows well, and you know, some people don't like that too. Like, oh, you're going with someone you know. Well, if you know someone's good, you know, the thing is, I think you probably have a decent idea of what someone's skills are and how competent someone is if you know them from way back too, right? And look, Tim Kelly has a good track record. It's not a huge track record. And he was OC for a really bad football team during that time, you know. And the Texans were kind of falling apart, but it was more on the other side of the ball. But his track record is good. And so this is an opportunity for him now to take something that was very bad and flip it around. And I think he is as interesting a person as there is going into this season.
Somebody just texted, come on, Robbie, you guys saying that Downing was good? A lot of hatred for Todd Downing still out there. No, I did not say Downing was good.
That. Yeah, no one said that. But, like, it's just, again, WHMR, that's the quintessential WHMR take is, he was an idiot. It's all about him.
WHMR.
In the morning.
The Homer.
There you love it.
All I'm saying is, if you look at the offense last year, yes, Todd Downing was a big part of it, in my opinion, of why things didn't go well. It wasn't just the offensive coordinator. Just like, Joe, if the things go well this year with Tim Kelly and the offense is good, it won't just be because of Tim Kelly. It will probably be because the offensive line plays a little bit better than we think. DeAndre Hopkins has a big impact. Treylon Burks gets healthy, has a big impact. All those things. Like, it's
sure.
This is way more complicated than just one person.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, anybody who's had success in that job, I promise you, has had good players, you know, making plays that you just sit there in the box and hope that they make the plays. You know, I mean, that's just, but if it does happen and they turn around, I promise you that Tim Kelly will be getting looks to be a head coach in this league. Someone says, Joe, you were about to say the O, F, and C. Was I?
I don't think so.
Gosh, I don't think I was about to say that.
You can be a potty mouth sometimes.
That is true. That's why the mute button is handy. And I got it at the ready.
That's right. Coming up next, we'll look ahead to week zero of college football, including Vanderbilt and Hawaii coming up at our city tomorrow. Take a look around the rest of the action in college football as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The defensive line has come a long way. I think we see in the trenches now at Vanderbilt good on good every single day. And so, as iron sharpens iron, you know, we feel like we know a little more about the truth of what we have, and we're really excited. Now it's got to all come together for us. And like I said, Saturday won't be perfect, but it'll give us an indication of where we are and where we need to, kind of fill in the gaps to keep moving that group forward.
That was Clark Lee on with us on Wednesday for his weekly visit in advance of Vanderbilt taking on Hawaii tomorrow. You can check that game out here on 102.5 The Game. Game starts at 6:30, pregame at 5 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game or the 102.5 The Game app, so make sure you check that out. So I'm looking on FanDuel Sportsbook. Vanderbilt, a 17.5-point favorite against Hawaii at home tomorrow. They went to Hawaii last year, and Mike Wright ran all over them. They actually started the game. They were down 7-0. Hawaii scored the first touchdown, and then I think Vanderbilt ended up winning by 50 points last year. So a destruction of Hawaii last year in Timmy Chang's first game as head coach for Hawaii. Now, obviously, that program had a long way to go last year, and now he's in year two, and we'll see what happens on that part of it. But still think Vanderbilt should be able to move the ball really well tomorrow. I think more than anything, I'm really interested to see the running backs and how they replace Ray Davis as they move forward, not just in tomorrow's game, but into this year. And you brought up the line of scrimmage for Vanderbilt. You know, we're not going to learn, I think, a ton about them against Hawaii, but when they get into SEC play, how equipped are the Commodores to handle SEC lines of scrimmage, be that on the offensive or defensive sides of the ball? And it sounded from that clip like Clark Lee feels a lot better about the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball heading into this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And like he said, and we did see the jump last year with the O-line from year one to year two. Didn't yep. really see it, you know, with the D-line. So, if the D-line is indeed significantly better, and I think there's some veterans who are back, but you know they actually have some bodies up there that I think are going to be able to compete. I still wonder about edge rushing. You know, the big time recruit who now is a sophomore, Darren Agoo, he's hurt, so I don't know that he's going to play tomorrow. But that's a guy who, I think he was originally a Notre Dame commitment, guy out of Georgia. You know, there's your hope is guys like that develop and that, you know, you can really get some production because they definitely need to affect quarterbacks more along with being more stout up front. And look, the SEC, to me, that's what separates the SEC from any other league is the athleticism and just all around excellence of defensive linemen in this league.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Vanderbilt has some steps to take there and, you know, hopefully they've taken some of those steps this year. Now, I am interested, you know, in tomorrow's game. Like I said, they should have the advantage on the line of scrimmage against Hawaii. So we'll see what happens on that front. But in tomorrow's game, A.J. Swan, like how sharp does A.J. Swan look from the jump? I think he's going to be pretty good. I know that at the end of last year, Mike Wright came in and he was the one that got the wins against Kentucky and Florida. And I get all that. I liked a lot of what I saw from A.J. Swan last year as a true freshman. And I think he's got a lot of tools that can make him a really good SEC quarterback. Like, you know, I don't know that A.J. Swan is ever going to be like some top draft pick or, you know, a first round quarterback in the NFL or anything like that. But I think he has the chance to be a really good SEC quarterback. And I think the tools are there for him this year, Joe, especially at wide receiver. And Will Shepard gets the large part of that conversation. But, you know, I was really impressed with Jaden McGowan as a freshman last year. I think he's got a lot of weapons around him at the skill positions that can make his job a lot easier this year.
Yeah, they almost have – if they could take the depth at receiver and spread it out to some other positions, I mean, it's because, yeah, Quincy Skinner and Clark mentioned, you know, him with us earlier this week, solid player. Like you said, McGowan, I think McGowan is kind of your gadget player. He makes some big plays. Shepard could be a star this year. And then don't sleep on a guy. Richie Hoskins is he's had a heck of a camp. I mentioned earlier, Junior Sherrill, London Humphreys, another freshman. We got a lot of guys at receiver who can make plays, but I'm with you on running back. It's, I just don't know if they're going to have one guy emerge, you can be fine without that. You know, they have some young talent there, but it would be, I think, good for Vanderbilt for sure if one back kind of started to separate himself.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's you need a back to separate yourself, be kind of the bell cow that they've had out there. But, you know, tomorrow's game, really the path to bowl eligibility. We've been talking about that this week. Like, how realistic is that? Can Vanderbilt find a way to get to six wins this year? You know, to me, the minimum that if that's going to happen, Joe, the minimum that you've got to go in your non-conference is 3-1. And I think they've got a great opportunity to do at least that. Now, Wake Forest lost Sam Hartman as their quarterback, and they've got to go on the road to Wake Forest for an early morning kickoff. So I think they have a chance to win that game. I'm interested to see how that one goes. But you need to win at least three of these non-conference games to me, Joe, if you're going to have a chance to get to six at the end of the year.
No, for sure. I agree. I mean, you got to be able to win the home games, which they will, and then win at UNLV, which they should. And then look, I'm very interested in the game at Wake Forest. I think that's a kind of a program game kind of thing for Vanderbilt. Obviously Sam Hartman's not there anymore. I think that's a really interesting game. I don't know that it's a toss up. They're on the road. Wake, you know, has built a nice program, but I also think they got a chance there. If they get that, they're in great shape, you know, heading into the SEC. But a bowl game is definitely possible. I think there's several SEC games that they could get. I don't know yet, like what Auburn's going to look like. We got these. I mean, Auburn and Florida are SEC teams that have Big Ten cast-offs at quarterback. You know what? Yep. I mean, I don't think either of them are going to be all that good. Doesn't mean Vanderbilt will beat them, but they have a chance.
Ben on the text line says, what is Vandy's ceiling and floor this year, in your opinion? I'd say 7-5 and win the bowl game, or 4-8. This is from Ben on the text line.
That's probably about right. Yeah. I mean, look, the floor, if you go through their schedule, they could be improved being a whole bunch of close games and not win them and go like 3-9, you know? I mean, the SEC is still really tough. So, I mean, I think that's probably – and the floor also to me is, as we talked about earlier this week, like, are they getting to the point where they can actually be competitive and not have this just like everyone look away from the car crash when right. they play a Georgia team like that? So the floor is like 3-9, 4-8, but also just still getting just annihilated in games like that. I mean, 56-0 Tennessee last year was an unfortunate finish because they had built up that momentum and had some huge wins. And you kind of go out with that. That's your last image of this team playing football. So, but I think the ceiling is probably about that. I mean, I guess, is 8-4, like if they were to win the non-conference and beat Florida, you know, Kentucky, Missouri, I mean, that would be an astoundingly incredible
Auburn,
ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, I mean, think about that. First of all, then the conversation in town is, okay, who's trying to hire Clark Weir? We're not talking about like the players getting poached. We're talking about the coach getting poached.
Right. Well, look, I think 3.5 wins is too low. I think they're going to sneak up and beat a team or two in the SEC this year. Now, having said that, Joe, when you start talking about floor, like I'll have to look at it. But my guess is Vanderbilt is favored against Hawaii, Alabama A&M, and UNLV. And my guess is, as we sit here today, they're probably not favored against anybody else. Like going on the road to Wake Forest, I would imagine Wake Forest is the favorite in that game. And then you get into an SEC schedule, Vanderbilt's probably an underdog in all of those games. Now, probably a close underdog in a few of those, be that Florida or Auburn or whatever team you want to pick out there, Missouri. But, I mean, Vegas would tell you that they're probably favored in 3 games this year. So the floor, probably 3-9, somewhere around there. You know, look, if Vanderbilt gets to 6 this year, I think you should be really excited about that if you're a Vanderbilt fan. Based on where the program was when Clark Lee took over, you got positive momentum at the end of last year, winning a couple of SEC games. I know it didn't go well against Tennessee, but you did win against Kentucky and Florida to close out the season before the Tennessee game. Like if you get to 6 this year, I would sign up for that without even looking at it if I'm a Vanderbilt fan this year.
Oh, without question. I think any Vanderbilt fan, any reasonably conscious and realistic Vanderbilt fan is thrilled with 6 wins. And again, some would say, well, gosh, it's only a 1-game improvement from last year. But if they get to 6, you're going to see, I mean, that's going to reflect, I think, significant improvement, looking at their schedule and 6 and to you know, in theory, they could get to a bowl game at 5, right, with the APR and everything like that. But to earn it and get to 6 would be really a remarkable 3-season run. You have to keep in mind what Clark Lee inherited.
Joe, the other week 0 matchups, Navy versus Notre Dame over there in Ireland. 20.5-point favorite for Notre Dame in that game. Sam Hartman, who we just talked about, Wake Forest, making his debut with Notre Dame. So looking forward to that. Other than that, not great for week 0. I mean, USC's playing against San Jose State. So I guess that's fun that Caleb Williams will be out there. But I'm glad college football back. Week 0 is a little rough.
Yeah, there is. You know, I'm trying to think, is there like a hidden gem in here? Like is Ohio, San Diego State, is that a decent flip back game?
Get fired
from
up.
Vanderbilt, Hawaii. Yeah. You know, I mean, it could be competitive.
UTEP, Jacksonville State.
Yeah. You got the late game on CBS Sports Network is Florida International, La Tech.
Oh, yeah.
But, USC, you get, like you said, get a chance to see Caleb Williams. And of course, it's on like their network, which I think you have to like get some of those like phone wires with the cans on the end of them and stuff. Yeah. And then you have to like, commit, you have to like get a Ouija board out and stuff to be able to watch it. But
cardboard cut out of Pete Carroll in your room is necessary for that as well.
Yeah, I don't, it was a long process. You can Google it if you want to watch him, but it kind of speaks to why that league's about to not exist.
Yes, it does. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, you haven't played in years, why can't I be quarterback, huh?
You're right, let's see what you got. Hit me, I'm open.
Hi, hi, hi.
That's why. Now sit down and shut up.
Who we're gonna crush?
The gods!
Who we're gonna kill?
The gods!
Who we're gonna kiss?
The gods!
Got you.
It is that time of the day. It's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexrode, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Thanks. Sorry. Trying to, get someone to turn music down, you know, because trying to do a radio show in my own home would be great.
It's game day, man.
Speaking of high school football, I mean, seriously, like the bass is coming through the wall. Like we're about to have a freaking incident in my home on the radio. Speaking of high school football, sorry, I'm really flustered. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. And, I mean, if I have to put this on the air, I will put this on the air, although then be ready to drop something there, Nick. Be ready. This is absolutely ridiculous. So, what I actually wanted to rant about, Steve Cavendish brought this to light. I know a lot of people talk about this week, but, like, it's got to be talked about. Gannett and AI-generated high school football stories. I'll just read, you know, this is the one he found was from Westerville. This was, I'm not even sure if this is the Columbus, I'm sure it's Columbus. You know, you got a headline, Westerville North escapes Westerville Central in thin win in Ohio high school football. So let me just read it. The Westerville North Warriors defeated the Westerville Central Warhawks 21-12 in Ohio school football game on Friday. Westerville North edged Westerville Central 21-12 in a close encounter of the athletic kind at Westerville North High on August 18th in Ohio football action. And it just goes on like that. There's not one person mentioned, which is the entire point of doing some high school football coverage. You obviously can't cover every game with a person. You never could. I mean, my first job in journalism was taking phone calls. And then eventually I was able to get sent out to cover some high school games. And I would say anybody who ever wants to cover sports should have to cover high school football. But I know that's not how the world works anymore. But you take those calls and you get in as many names as you can of kids who made plays or were stats. That's what people, they want to read about their kids in the score. So instead, let's have a bunch of graphs of completely meaningless garbled crap without mentioning a human. I mean, how is this better? Like you're paying for AI, you know, and then completely nonsensical sentences that are just repetitive, and close encounter of the athletic kind is apparently some big phrase that this AI program uses over and over and over again. It's the thing, like, this is, you know, Gannett just deciding to bring on just total embarrassment to itself too. You know, I mean, it's just truly amazing. So a lot of people wrote about this week, you know, the Big Lead, wrote about this. Actually got a Gannett spokesperson on the line. So here's what the Gannett spokesperson, and, you know, full disclosure, look, I worked most of my career in Gannett. There's lots of fair criticism of Gannett for sure. I mean, I had a mostly really good experience. A lot of people that I care about a lot still work for Gannett. You know, it's a tough industry right now. So some things happen and there are good decisions and bad decisions. This is an awful decision. Here's what the Gannett spokesperson said, quote, in addition to adding hundreds of reporting jobs across the country, we're experimenting with automation and AI to build tools for our journalists and add content for our readers. We are continually evaluating vendors as we refine processes to ensure all the news and information we provide meets the highest journalistic standards. I promise you that it is not a journalistic standard to keep repeating the same thing over and over again and never have any humans involved in it. I mean, again, like CPA over BA, it's like, the Crest Presbyterian Lions defeated the Brentwood Academy Eagles 17-16 in a Tennessee high school football game on Saturday. Crest Presbyterian eventually took victory away from Brentwood Academy 17-16 in a Tennessee high school football matchup. You just said the same thing twice in a row. Space is limited. And you can't have a human being like just look at this even. I mean, let me just read the rest of the story. Both teams were shut out in the first quarter. The Eagles took a 7-3 lead over the Lions heading to the halftime locker room. Brentwood Academy enjoyed a 16-3 lead over Crest Presbyterian to start the fourth quarter. A 14-0 scoring edge in the final quarter fueled the Lions' defeat of the Eagles. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, if you're going to do AI, I thought AI was going to take over the world, right? Like, I'm worried about the machines taking over. They can't even, like, figure out basics of a freaking sports story of what to include or not to include. Is this stupid? Is AI stupid? Are we actually okay as a human race? Maybe we should all feel good about this. This is a terrible decision. And it just, again, for me, it's depressing because this should be people taking calls. This is about getting kids' names in. It's about getting in the most important stuff in a very tight little space and getting as much as you can get reported out there so people can see their kids when they do something great on the high school football field. Instead, let's have these repetitive paragraphs that mean the same thing over and over again and never mention a human.
You may not have ever had to do this because you were actually a good writer, so you probably figured all this out on your own. But, like, you know, back in, like, English class when the teacher would assign a word count that you had to get to, and, like, you're just making stuff up to get to the word count? Like, it's what it sounds like with this AI stuff. I'm just repeating stuff over and over again. Like, I know that they used to give me, like, a 1,000 word count, and I was like, yeah, I'm done at about 750. So how can I stretch this thing out to 1,000 here? And we're going to start making some stuff up and really just stringing some sentences together here. That's what it sounds like on this AI stuff. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Reminds me of high school.
That's a good, yeah, trying to get to the word count. Yeah. See, my problem was always like, usually, and it still is, I just blah, 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 you know, diarrhea of the keyboard. But at least like not saying the same thing over and over again, you know, man, so it's just egg on the face, and I just like I want to know who there had to have been a human at some point who read these, and they're humans. Like, even if you're at the Columbus paper, you give a glance at that. Don't okay. Well, we can zap that paragraph. It said the same thing. Zap that one, right? Like, it's not only like AI doing this, but it's like, where's the human oversight? It's okay to edit it. Are you worried that they're going to like shoot lasers from the sky at your building if you edit the story at all? Or if you add like the name of a human? Yeah, right. I don't know, man.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Santa in Portland. Santa, good morning. How we doing?
Robbie, Joe, it's always nice to talk to you guys. I wanted to chime in, Joe. I agree with you on AI, but I am an audiobook narrator on the side as well. And our industry is being inundated with AI by publishers and other folks kind of stealing our voices and making their own books and using voices in commercials and things like that without our permission. And it's taking the creative juices away, which is what you're suffering from in your industry. When they take the human element out of it, you take away that creative position and lose a lot of what we need, and which is what makes everything interesting, and which is what makes, in my job, the storytelling interesting. And I think it's sad that it happened.
Santa, thanks for calling in, buddy. We appreciate it. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, and that's thanks for the call. And you know, the thing is, right? It's like, I've been hearing for a couple of years now, it's like, watch out, you know, AI sports reporting. But I guess actually looking at this, I guess I'm not that worried, you know? I mean, no one in their right mind would be like, hey, yeah, we'll just have AI cover the Yankees for us. Should be fine. Right? The New York Yankees in a close encounter of the baseball kind. Like, what? And then in a game and the New York Yankees at the Yankee Stadium on August 18th, they played in a baseball game. I mean, I guess we should feel better. I'm going to try to spin this into a positive.
I just enjoy your AI voice. You got Kaharsky voice, Stillman voice, and AI voice from Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, it's each a mix of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Vin Scully, golly.
I like that. That's good.
Wow.
Sounds like rich mahogany.
Schwarzenegger?
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans in advance of the final preseason game tonight against New England. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.